Welcome to Interfaith Voices. I'm Maureen Fiedler. We're a show about faith, ethics, and spirituality, covering all major faith traditions. We're independent and listener-supported, and we come to you proudly from the studios of WAMU 88.5, our partnering station in Washington, D.C. Welcome.
For the past 6 years, Allison Josephs has been Mayim Bialik's study partner and spiritual guide. She's the creator of the blog Jew in the City, which seeks to demystify the modern Orthodox movement. So, Allison, welcome to Interfaith Voices.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, one of the goals of Jew in the City is to dispel myths about Orthodox Jews.
Exactly.
So can you talk about what are some of the big ones that always come up?
Sure. So I think probably the most common one is the hole in the sheet, that people believe that we have sex through a hole in the sheet. This is something that was mentioned in A Stranger Among Us. It's something that I was asked by, I had a cleaning lady that made my bed for years, and she asked me this, and I said, "You've seen my sheets before. You haven't seen any holes, have you?" I think it really comes from the idea that people look at Orthodox Jews as sexually repressed, and they think that, you know, we think that sex is a negative thing when we actually think it's a very positive thing. It just needs to be done at the right time in the right place. But when it is, it's, you know, one of the most holy things you can actually do and one of the most positive things you can do.
Well, a lot of them center around women, and there's this perception that Orthodox Judaism is somehow anti-feminist or anti-woman. Where does that come from?
I mean, you know what? I think what it comes from is that the traditional Orthodox Jewish approach is actually very pro-women, but it's in the perspective of women should be celebrated for their differences from men, not trying to become like men. So men and women have different roles. So the moment that you say that, you know, genders have different roles and, you know, I think that sort of makes people think, ah, that's a red flag for sexism, whereas we actually believe that there's something positive to each side bringing something different to the table.
Just another question about women's issues in Orthodox Judaism. I know that Orthodox Jewish women cannot become rabbis, but conservative and reform women can. Why is that?
I guess the best thing that I could say is that in the synagogue, there's an idea of men and women being separate, that, you know, prayer should be a time when people aren't distracted. And the idea of having a woman sort of up in front of the congregation at that point in that role would take away from possibly the ability for, you know, there to be a certain level of holiness or concentration at that point. There's a separation between the men and the women called a mechitza. Each man has a talis that he can put around his head to sort of even further separate himself. So the idea is that we don't want to, you know, turn sort of that space, that holy space, into something that could, you know, possibly take people's focus away from that. This is a very not good enough answer, but...
Well, let me just ask you really quick, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the idea that a woman in front of the synagogue would be a distraction? Do you agree with that?
I mean, it definitely could be. I mean, it depends on the woman. It depends on the man. Everyone agrees with an orthodoxy that prayer is a time when things should be separate. And I don't look at it. Here's the thing. If I walked into Orthodox households and I saw the women being mistreated and I saw the women, you know, being subjugated, then I never would have gone any further. I would have said, this isn't for me. The first place that I spent, one of my first Sabbath dinners, I saw the husband getting up and clearing the plates and helping out more than my conservative father ever did. Mm. So it's really because I saw that, you know, the women were being treated nicely, and as I learned more, you know, and I had to make a decision, really, at the beginning, I would say. Are these differences coming from misogyny and sexism and in an effort to hold women back, or is there another reason? And so I spent some time trying to explore. I've probably been at two homes in over a dozen years where I felt like the men were sexist, and I don't think that was an Orthodox thing. I think that was the men's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as I learned more and I experienced it and I saw Orthodox women for myself, I saw the reasons for separation and for differences between the genders were coming from something else, because each side can contribute something else.
Who do you think Orthodox Judaism's biggest critics are? Because to me, sometimes I think it could be other Jews who aren't Orthodox themselves.
For sure. I mean, I think there's critics all over the place. We have a ton of bad PR, especially stuff going on in Israel recently has been horrible PR. But I think in some ways, I think a lot of Jews have a feeling that they're being judged and they're being looked down upon. And so sort of there's a certain defense mechanism that's put up: before you judge me, I'll be angry or judge you first. I knew a girl once in college who was super open-minded, and she confessed to me that when she met me, she didn't realize that I was Orthodox, but if she ever had, she never would have even become friends with me. She would have written me off right away. So I think there's definitely something true to that.
I know you were raised in a conservative Jewish home, and you embraced a more traditional Orthodox version of Judaism as you became older. And just take me through your day. How is your day different as an Orthodox Jew now than it was when you were growing up a conservative Jew, just to make this really concrete?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. What I love about the life of an observant Jew is that I feel like there's constantly sort of signs along the road, that picture life as a road. There's constantly reminders and signs to be appreciative and to, you know, sort of be connecting all the time to God and to something transcendent. So from the moment that I wake up in the morning, I say a prayer called Mode Ani, which is sort of a, I just woke up again. When I went to sleep last night, I didn't know if I was going to, but I have a new day here, and today's going to matter. When I eat food, every time I eat a new type of food, I say a blessing beforehand, and if I've had enough of it, I say a blessing afterwards. There's a blessing after I go to the bathroom. There's prayers, you know, three times throughout the day. And, you know, there's Shabbat once a week, and there's Rosh Chodesh once a month. It's sort of a life where you're constantly, hopefully, if you are making things sort of connect to something spiritual. The idea is to take holiness and infuse it into the physical, is to be a part of the world, but to take eating, for instance, not just to sort of, you know, eat your food like an animal and, you know, satisfy your stomach, but to have in mind that the food is giving you energy, to, you know, really notice the taste and remember the source of it. So I think it's really more like mindful living is what I would say.
Well, Alison Josephs, thank you so much for joining us on Interfaith Voices.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Buy up your pad and pencil. I give you a piece of my mind.
Remember that show Blossom? It was a sitcom about a smart, quirky teenager growing up with her father and two brothers. It dealt with the real issues that many American teenagers face: divorcing parents, drugs, high school bullies, and first dates.
So how about a movie Saturday night?
Saturday night? Saturday night?
No, you're busy, right?
No, I'm just playing hard to get. How'd I do?
Very convincing.
Saturday night.
Mayim Bialik has grown up now and moved beyond Blossom. In addition to acting, she's an author and a neuroscientist. And she's an informal spokesperson for a recent movement in Judaism known as Conservadox. Still, Blossom isn't going away, so we began by talking about the show that made her famous.
You know, Don Rio, when he created this show, he wanted to do kind of a catcher in the rye from a girl's perspective. He wanted to do true trials and tribulations of an angst-ridden teen. And it wasn't Shakespeare. We weren't, you know, curing cancer. But, you know, there's a lot of kind of sweetness to some of the subtleties. And also, you know, at that time, there weren't shows about teenage girls. So the fact that we had a show centered around a girl was, in and of itself, kind of significant.
And let me say, too, it was groundbreaking in a way, not just because it centered around a girl, but it was a particular girl who had a particular look. And, I mean, for me, I grew up watching Blossom, and for me, it was the first time I saw a girl my age who looked like me, who looked Eastern European and who looked Jewish, and I had never seen that before. And it was kind of amazing. You were kind of a role model for me. And I wonder if you see yourself as a sort of role model for young Jewish women kind of growing up in the early 90s.
You know, I got the Blossom role because I was in Beaches. I was portraying Bette Midler, you know, as a young girl. And, you know, honestly, when I started acting in, 1986, the look was not ethnic. The look was Gentile, very small features, dimples, clean, pale skin. You know, I didn't fit the mold of anything except Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand. And so the fact that I got this part, you know, a year after I started acting, that sort of, for me, became what I was known for. You know, the fact that I've not gotten plastic surgery and this is still what I look like, you know, you get the label character actor and you're sort of saddled with that. But for me, as an actor, my job is to make you believe something. And so I do what I can with, you know, the face and, you know, sort of the skills that I was given.
Maya, you were raised in a Reform Jewish home, which you might say is the least strict of the three branches of Judaism. And now you call yourself Conservadox, which is somewhere between conservative and orthodox. I'm just curious, why did you change?
I think what should be mentioned, although I was raised in a Reform household, my mother was raised Orthodox, and there was a lot of remnants of some of, I guess, the deeper beauty that I chose to pursue when I started learning more. But I think for me, especially being immersed in a college and academic universe, you know, after operating in the Hollywood world for most of my teen years, if I guess all of my teen years, I really was craving, I guess, some deeper exploration of not only why we're here, but how to live to best reach my potential as a human being. I don't mean to make it sound so dramatic, but I think for many people it is.
I was wondering if you could tell me more about that term conservadox that you use. Like, how do you define that for yourself?
So it's not a term that I came up with by myself. It's also not a term that's used very often. The general notion being that, you know, where my head, where my interest is Jewishly is in the world of Orthodoxy and specifically modern Orthodoxy. However, because of limitations and certain things about my life and career, there are things that I do that people who are modern Orthodox generally would not and do not do. So the fact is I don't particularly identify with the conservative movement simply because I seek a life more guided by the structure of halacha and Jewish law. So conservadox is sort of a term that indicates an in-the-middleness. And honestly, out of respect to the people who are, quote, truly modern Orthodox, I don't bandy that term around when you see me, you know, kissing men on television, or I've written publicly about how I managed to go to work on a religious holiday without violating as many things as possible. So that's why I'm just careful to not wave the flag of modern Orthodoxy and be held up to that standard of living when I don't think I'm there yet publicly.
Later in our show today, we'll be talking to Alison Josephs, who's been your mentor and study partner for a few years. And I was wondering, what has she taught you about Judaism that you didn't understand before?
Alison operates in a world that I don't, meaning she has sort of successfully integrated herself into a comfortable modern Orthodox existence. And I don't know that I'm there. I don't know that I will get there. But I think one of the first things we did together was she asked me to tell her what I didn't like about Judaism. And it was kind of a startling question. You know, I felt bad. Mm-hmm. I felt bad picking on Judaism mm-hmm. with, you know, this religious woman.
What did you tell her that you didn't like about Judaism?
I told her I didn't like how women were treated. I told her I thought that the mikveh, you know, the ritual bath that women go to, I thought it was sexist. I told her it's unequal in general for women. I told her it's weird. I don't understand all the rules. And why can't you cook this on Shabbat? Why can't you cook at all? And if my idea of resting is listening to music on the radio, why isn't that the rest that God intended for me? I mean, I had it all. And I was a person who loved Judaism. And I still had all of these feelings and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And we just started from there. I specifically wanted to study what is going on Shabbat, that there's 39 categories of things you can't do. It makes no sense. So we studied them. We studied them one at a time. But I needed that foundation. And like I said, it's my personal belief that no matter the denomination you come from, you deserve an education like that so that you can go into the world and then decide what works for you.
Well, Maya Bialik, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to me.
Mayim Bialik stars on the show The Big Bang Theory, and she's the author of a new book on parenting called Beyond the Sling, a real-life guide to raising confident, loving children the attachment parenting way. And she's the former star of the 90s sitcom Blossom.
Stop all your fussing. Slap on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling. You know you want to have a good time.